Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll meet Minnesota's Disabled American Veteran Commander, and we'll learn what the Folds of Honor organization is doing here in Minnesota. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
September is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and a chance for us to talk about what's being done and what help is available for our service members and their families. Suicide is indeed a societal problem. In addition to local, state, and federal resources available to all citizens regarding suicide prevention, in the Minnesota National Guard, we have placed a special emphasis on suicide prevention education within our ranks. Our comprehensive soldier and family fitness program teaches life skills to service members and their families. Our trainers are helping service members cope and deal with life issues in a healthy and beneficial manner, and implementing resilience training throughout the force. We also have suicide intervention officers spread throughout our ranks who receive special training to respond to service members in crisis. They help identify at-risk behaviors and act as a first line of defense for service members who might be contemplating suicide. Developing resilient National Guardsmen requires a comprehensive and collaborative approach. We must encourage our soldiers and airmen and their families to develop their coping skills and come forward and seek assistance when things become more than they can handle. There is no shame in seeking help.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the commander of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, Commander Greg Remus. Greg, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom.
Greg, I understand you recently retired from the United States Army.
I did about 10 years ago. I did 22 years on active duty as a military police officer.
All right, and you retired as a lieutenant colonel?
Yes, yep.
And I understand you had your last active posting was pretty interesting duty.
Oh, it was. I was the professor of military science at NDSU Concordia in Moorhead State. What we did was we commissioned lieutenants. We trained the cadets on campus until they graduated and got their degree, and then they'd be a second lieutenant.
Pretty good duty for your last gig in the Army, wasn't it?
Oh, it was fun. And the talent that's out there, those young individuals at the universities are so smart.
And Greg, after you got out of the retired from the Army, you spent about 5 years as a national service officer for the DAV, Disabled American Veterans.
Right. I was in Fargo, and I was at the VA regional office there. We helped veterans apply for benefits, and we really did a lot with appeals work, too, up there.
So you got your feet wet right out of the Army into the DAV, Disabled American Veterans.
I did. It was really fortunate to be up there, too, because I could see how the hospital worked. I could see how the regional office worked. And then I got to meet the DAV, and they accepted me as that NSO. And it's just a pleasure to be with the DAV at that time.
And about 5 years ago, you found an opening for a great job up in Park Rapids.
Yes, sir. Yep. I was the County Veteran Service Officer. I started here in 2010. The decision was kind of a personal decision. I wanted to help veterans any way I could because I realized how diverse and how complicated the bureaucracy was with the VA. So my wife and I made a decision that maybe going out to the lake instead of being on a river is better. And that we don't regret that whatsoever.
So you're now the Hubbard County Veteran Service Officer.
Right.
And how many veterans do you think you have up in your county?
Oh, we've got about 2,200.
And how many of them have you met, Greg?
I think that I've met probably 4,000 or 5,000, to tell you the truth. There's a lot of people that have lake places up there. It's just... It's a job that's never ending.
You know, that's something we don't talk about too often. We talk about county veteran service officers all the time. But we don't talk about the fact that if you live in Hennepin County, you don't have to go to Hennepin County. You can go see any county veteran service officer, can't you?
Right. We would never turn anybody away. And you know, you never know when you need to apply or tap into those VA benefits. So if you're someplace else, make sure you do stop in at the CVSO office.
So for all our veterans out there listening on our network of 23 stations, what would you have to say to them today?
What I'd say is if you have an issue with the VA or you think you might have a benefit that you're eligible for, go see your CVSO, first stop.
Go see your county veteran service officer. Get your discharge certificate, your 214. And even if you don't have a problem, go get registered. Register that discharge certificate. Meet your CVSO. You might need them sometime in the future.
And you may want to bring your family member in, too. If you're a Vietnam veteran that maybe has a massive heart attack, your family needs to feel comfortable to be able to go in and talk to that county veteran service officer too.
Now, one of the other things I think our listeners might not be aware of, Greg, is that most of you belong to the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, and they supply a lot of training, don't they?
Yes, yes. We just finished our Grandview, our annual training. We were up in Brainerd. We were there for about 3 days, and we had all sorts of instructors that came in from MDVA or from the VA itself, and we try to stay current on as many topics as possible.
So you're, you know, as best prepared as possible to help veterans with whatever issues they might have.
Right.
And know all of the various resources that might be available to help them.
Well, and the networking is really important. That's a lot of our job. If we can't help you, we sure can point you in the right direction.
Well, it's good to know that you're out there, and there's at least one county veteran service officer in every county. And as we said, even if you want to see the one up at your lake place up by Park Rapids, stop in and see Colonel Remus.
Yep, that's right.
Now, you are this year the commander of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota. Now, does that mean you went through the chairs the last few years?
I have. We start off as a junior vice, normally the fourth junior vice, and you go third, second, first, senior vice, and then the commander. In each one of those stepping chairs, you have a different role. One is focused on membership, another one is focused on DAV outdoors, another one is focused on transportation, and it just depends on what chair you're in.
And Greg, how did you get involved with, or how did you make the decision that you wanted to go through the state chairs?
I knew some of the leadership over here in Minnesota when I moved over from Fargo, and I started participating, and I realized how much more complex it is over here and how many more resources are available. And I saw an opportunity that I could maybe help out Park Rapids, Hubbard County, and help out the veterans throughout the state with my background. And I just thought that it's the right time to do it.
Now, was that a family decision? Now, we've got your wife in the control room listening to you. So did you consult with her before you did that?
I always tell everybody that I do anything I want to do. I just have to ask her if I want to or not.
Well, she's smiling in there, so apparently she approves of this. So how time-consuming is it going through the chairs at the state level of the Minnesota Disabled American Veterans?
I think I probably put in anywhere from 20 to 40 hours a week, so it's a half-time job.
Well, you're putting in a lot of hours then between being a county veteran service officer and being the commander of the DAV Minnesota. And fortunately, you've got a very active adjutant, don't you?
Oh, we do. Butch Whitehead. Stephen Whitehead is the best. He's also a command sergeant major in the Army National Guard, and he's also the fourth junior vice commander at the national level. He was just elected here a few months ago.
I'm going to have to talk to him about that. We'll have to get him into the studio so we can get an update. Now, Greg, we just got a couple of minutes left in this segment. Can you tell us, what is the mission of DAV of Minnesota?
The mission is to help, support, and improve the quality of life of disabled veterans and their family members. And what we do is, and we're different from other organizations because of that mission. Whenever we do any kind of fundraiser or any kind of event, it has to be to help disabled veterans and their family members.
And how many members do you have in Minnesota?
Well, we've got nearly 17,000, or just a little over 17,000.
That's quite a few.
Oh, there are. We have 36 chapters out there. And we also have our auxiliary, and I couldn't tell you how many auxiliary members we have.
We'll save that one for the adjutant.
Okay, good.
He's supposed to know those things for you, Commander. And so how long have you been commander now?
About 3 months.
So you got another 9 months to go in the year.
9 months to go.
Any special goals or any special things you want to accomplish?
Well, I'd like to help the leadership of the DAV develop a little bit better. We're going to focus a lot of a little more of our resources in making sure that they understand what all the programs are and they can mentor their individuals out there in their chapters. I'd also like to get a little bit more involved in the legislative process. I think that in the last couple of years, legislatively, we could have done more.
And of course, being the commander of the DAV of Minnesota, that means you're automatically a member of the Commander's Task Force.
Right.
And collectively, all the veteran service organizations in Minnesota work together and combine their membership, and every January carry some messages up to the legislature.
Right. And we have our first meeting the 15th and 16th of October. And also, we also have Commissioner Shalito that's part of that.
And, of course, Commissioner Shalado is the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and he refers to the Commander's Task Force as his board of directors.
Oh, super.
So I think he loves the input, and I'm sure that you all help each other. Greg, we have to take a short break. We're speaking to Greg Remus, the commander of the DAV of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Greg Remus, who is the commander of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, and just was elected to office about 3 months ago. He's got about 9 months to go. He's got a lot of priorities, and we asked you about that. What priorities, anything real specific you want to do in the next 9 months?
I'd like to be actively engaged in the legislative process, both at the federal and at the state level. There's programs out there that I think need some help. And for instance, at the state level, I'd like to see the extension of the property tax exemption for widows. Right now, they have it for 8 years, and I think that they should be able to, as long as they are unmarried, unremarried, and they're not moving out of their home, they should keep getting that property tax exemption. I think that there's things like military retirees tax exclusion. We're one of 5 states or 6 states that don't have any benefits coming towards that for bringing retirees back to the state. I think we're losing a lot of talent by those guys moving out. And there's several others.
Last year, we were talking about that some tax breaks for retirement income for our veterans, and the fact came out that Wisconsin approved that some years back, about a decade, as I recall, and they had some solid economic proof that that benefited Wisconsin, and it caused a lot of their veterans to move back home and live in Wisconsin and spend their money there. And like you, a lot of our veterans that retire after 22 years in the service, you're still young, you still got to work.
And we're very productive, and you know that active duty, when you're on active duty, I remember many times talking to my fellow officers saying, okay, well, which states have benefits, you know, where we don't have to pay our taxes on our retirement? And we've made decisions based on that.
Sure, and you can see that all over the place when you take a look at the concentration of veterans around the country, and it isn't Minnesota right now, so yep. That's a good thing to work on. Greg, I want to get back to the DAV of Minnesota. One of the things you do is you provide some help for the veterans. If a veteran's got an issue and some kind of claim, they go to the county veterans service officer, which means they can come to you up in Hubbard County. You file a claim, but then the DAV of Minnesota, if they're a disabled veteran, will help them pursue that claim, correct?
Yes. We actually have national service officers down in Minneapolis, and I believe that they're the best trained in the world. They go through 18 or 36 months of training, learning each one of the bodily systems and also each one of the VA programs, and they focus on each one and take a test after a month for each one of those systems and programs. And the claims will go directly from the CVSO to the DAV representative if the individual selects it, and then it goes into the VA. And that DAV NSO will actually track the claim along the claims process the entire way. And at the end, when there's a proposed decision that's getting ready to be published, they get to look at the packet, complete packet, and they can walk back over to the rater and say one of two things, either yes, it's good the way it is, or no, it's not, and you need to relook at it this way. So and that's a free service.
So if there's more documentation necessary to prove up some kind of an injury or a problem, then they advocate for the veteran filing that claim and try to get it rated accordingly.
Absolutely.
Now, that's a great service to provide. Now, at the DAV, you do a lot of things. One of the things is that you buy some vans to help our veterans get back and forth to the VA, to their appointments at the VA.
It's really a multi-leveled program out there. Some counties or some chapters will ask for additional funds to get the DAV vans out there. And if you see a DAV van going by, you'll know what it is because it's got DAV plastered all over it with pictures of military members. But we just established the Northwest Transportation Network too. We sent 3 vans up to Wheaton, to Park Rapids and Bemidji. And now these vans are going from those locations over to the Fargo VA or to the Bemidji CBOC or down to St. Cloud. And they pick up veterans all along the way. And it's unique in that most county vans can't cross county lines. In other words, they can't pick up people along the way. This Northwest Transportation System, actually, you can pick them up all the way through.
So if we, through the DAV of Minnesota's fundraising mechanisms, you raise funds, you buy some vans, and they use those. But one of the things that's interesting there is all your drivers are volunteers, aren't they?
They are. They are. They get up in the morning, they go get the van, they go out and pick up the veteran, they drop off, they wait for the veteran to have their doctor's appointment completed, they take the veteran back to their home or their pickup site, and then they go back, drop off the van and go back home. They don't get paid, they get paid nothing.
And you're always looking for volunteer drivers.
We are. We need volunteers, and that's one way to get more active in the community. And the volunteer drivers, every time that you talk to them, they're saying, hey, God, let me tell you a story about what happened. And they're so proud that they're helping these World War II veterans, Korean War veterans, or even the veterans that are coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, the ones that may have PTSD and they have no way to get there. They feel so good about helping those peoples. And the veterans, it's unbelievable at the amount of access that they can get if they use those vans, whereas they would sit in their homes otherwise probably.
So for all our listeners out there on our network of stations, the DAV needs drivers all over Minnesota. And all you need to do is go to davmn.org, and you can find on the website a place to apply to become a driver. And I think you'll have fun doing it if you've got a chance to do it. And it doesn't have to be veterans, does it?
No, absolutely not. It can be anybody. As long as you can pass a very brief physical and you're not a convicted felon.
A valid driver's license,
you're good to go.
All right. So anybody who wants to be drivers, go to davmn.org and sign up. Now, we've just talked about the vans and things. DAV has a clothing program where you make some money by collecting up some household items and clothing.
Right. That's our primary source. We have it in the chapters. The chapters have bins out there. And I think every chapter has a clothing collection program. What you do is you just bring your clothes to those green bins that are clearly marked DAV. You drop it off. And it could be small items, too, anything that'll fit in those bins. We also have the department program down here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. We have a system set up where we can actually come out to the home to pick up those things. And the primary way that we get money for our department here is through the program, the clothing collection program. We raised several hundred thousand dollars last year, and this is what we use to fund those vans and all of our other programs.
We're speaking with Greg Remus, the commander of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Greg, in addition to all those things, the DAV also puts on a number of events each year, some golf, goose hunts, deer hunts, ice fishing, and most of that's to get the disabled veterans out of the house and get them back out on the lake or out in the woods, isn't it?
It is. It's called the DAV Outdoors Program. It started about 3 years ago. And in fact, in September, we had the Williams Narrows event. It was a fishing event. We had the Middle River Goose Hunt. We had the pheasant DAV Chapter 15 pheasant hunt, and then the Old Glory Run up at Camp Ripley. And we've got events going on throughout the year. There are four veterans. You don't have to be a DAV member to participate. The majority of the people that come out there either have PTSD or are unable to go out and do this event by themselves. I remember in our chapter that there was a World War II vet that came back from a deer hunt, and he came back to the chapter and he was just about crying. He was so proud. He said, I hadn't hunted for about 5 years. I had a mentor that came with me. I never saw a deer, but I had the best time that I've ever had. And it just made me feel very good, but then it made me realize how important these events are for the veterans that go out there. They get a little more self-esteem, they feel like they're more productive, and they have fun associating with other veterans.
Get out of the house, get in the woods, talk to some other veterans, get some fresh air. They love it.
Absolutely, yes.
Now, are you looking for volunteers to help with all of those events?
Well, I think that I know that we probably could use volunteers. Oftentimes, we find individuals that will come out and they'll show us where there's places to go. We just had an individual that came up and said, we want to start another deer hunt this year. And he's up in northern Minnesota and he's got 80 acres. So now John Carson, he's the organizer at the DAV. He's starting to put together another event.
So once again, go to davmn.org, and I think there's even a tab there where if you want to volunteer, you can go in and look for volunteer opportunities. You either be a driver or maybe help with some of these events. I'm sure you can always use some folks.
You got it.
All right. Now, if our veterans or family members of veterans are in need, and they don't know what to do, can they give you a call? How do they do it?
Yeah, the first thing that they should do is they should go see their CVSO, their county veteran service officer. And every county does have a veteran service officer. If they don't have a veteran service officer, go ahead online and you can see where the DAV of Minnesota is. You can give us a call. But really, the county veteran service officer knows, they're networked out there. They know exactly what resources are available, and they'll get you in the right lane.
And if out in the listenership around the state, if we've got some disabled veterans that don't belong to DAVMN, they can go to your website and they can talk to you and they can join and lend their voice when you go up to the legislature to talk about veterans issues.
Well, and if you're not eligible to join the DAV, if you're not a disabled veteran, then what happens is that there's also the auxiliary. And the auxiliary is a very viable organization within our organization. And they help where it's a partnership out there.
Greg, we just got about a minute left. How can the average person help the DAV or get involved?
Well, I think that we've touched on a couple of the topics. One is join. Go to the meeting, see what happens out there. I think that you'll have a good time. Second is donate if you have time or talents or clothing. Find that DAV bin out there. And those are the primary ways of getting involved.
Greg, any final thoughts for our listeners, either as the Hubbard County CVSO or as the commander of the DAVMN?
No, I'd like to thank all the veterans out there for their service and their family members that have supported them. I'm looking forward to this year. We really do have a lot of moving parts, and I think that we're going to try to continue to help the veterans, the disabled veterans and their family members.
And you probably have to go crack the whip on that adjutant over there. He isn't busy enough, is he? Stefan will make me pay for that one, Greg.
I think he will.
Well, I hope you have a great year in office, and I would like to thank you for visiting with us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
That was the commander of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. In a moment, we'll find out what Folds of Honor organization is doing here in Minnesota. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn what the Folds of Honor organization is doing here in Minnesota. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Chaliteau.
The gold star symbolizes the loss of a loved one while serving in the armed forces of the United States, whether it is in combat or duties other than combat. Gold star families have given so much and continue to give back to the community through voluntary acts. In bearing the loss of a loved one, Gold Star mothers, fathers, spouses, and their families truly understand the cost of this country's security and freedom. The family members of our fallen have earned the utmost respect and undying gratitude of our nation and our state.
Thank you, Commissioner Chaliteau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the president and director of Folds of Honor Minnesota Chapter, Perry Schmidt. Perry, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
It's good to be here with you.
Perry, I understand that you recently got involved with Folds of Honor. You were on a trip and you came across this organization. And can you tell us, how did you get involved?
I sure can. So my wife and I were invited out to Las Vegas to the American Country Music Awards. And as a part of the trip out there, we were invited to a bowling charity event on a Friday night. And I tell people, you know, when you're in Las Vegas on a Friday night, where's the last place you want to go?
Bowling.
A bowling alley. But we felt obligated to go, and we're glad we did. It was life-changing. So I hadn't heard of the Folds of Honor Foundation prior to that. I hadn't heard of Major Dan Rooney, who was the founder. And so we did go to the bowling alley that night and heard Major Dan tell his story. And then there was a recipient family there, Ginger Gilbert Ravella. And she told her story, and her husband was a F-16 fighter jet pilot that crashed in Iraq. And she was there with her family, and she had five kids, all under the age of 9, and told her story of her loss and what the Folds of Honor Foundation did for her in providing educational scholarships to her children. And I was between career opportunities, and so my wife Ann and I were looking for an opportunity to give back to some type of a cause, didn't know what it would be. And I just remember looking at Ann across the room, and I just gave her the nod, and we both knew at that time that, you know, this was an organization we could get behind.
Now, how long ago was that?
That was 2 years ago, May.
And you're not a veteran?
I am not a veteran. My dad did fight in the Korean War. My father-in-law was in the Navy. I've got cousins that fought in Vietnam. So I have a little military background in the family, but I did not serve.
But you got the bug in Las Vegas.
I did. And, you know, maybe have a few guilty feelings for, you know, maybe not doing my part to serve. So in a small way, this is a way that we can give back.
Well, from a veteran, as the host of the show and speaking on behalf of other veterans, don't feel guilty. We served, and we're glad that there's a lot of people that didn't have to serve. So, but by the same token, thanks for getting involved.
My pleasure.
It's hard to say no sometimes, isn't it?
It really is, especially with a cause like this.
Now, when you decided to do this, was there a Minnesota chapter?
There wasn't. You know, it's a relatively young organization. It was formed in 2007. And just a little background on the origin of the Folds of Honor Foundation. Major Dan Rooney was the founder. And he was a good golfer. He had a golf scholarship at the University of Kansas and played well enough where he was invited to qualifying school through the PGA. And he was going through Q school. And by his own admission, he said he watched Top Gun one too many times and felt the need to serve. And he wanted to fly, you know, fighter jets. And so he gave up his dream of playing on the pro tour. And he enlisted in the Oklahoma National Guard. And he went through flight school, became certified to fly F-16 jets. And he did. He flew three tours of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan. And he and his dad still had a love for golf, and they purchased a golf course up in Grand Haven, Michigan. And supposedly it looks kind of like northern Minnesota, a lot of pine trees, a lot of water up there. But Dan was back from his second tour of duty, and he decided to make a trip up to Grand Haven to check on the golf course. So he took a late night flight, flew into O'Hare in Chicago, flew out, and when he got on the plane, he had noticed a young Army corporal dressed in his Army greens, and he kind of gave the obligatory nod, and he sat down. And the plane landed in Grand Haven at 12:30 at night. And when the plane landed, the pilot came on board. There came on the PA system and said, ladies and gentlemen, we have American hero on board. And Major Dan's mind, you know, flicked to that the kid sitting in first class, and he's wondering, you know, what did this kid do to be recognized as American hero? But the pilot went on and said, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we have an American hero on board. We're bringing home the remains of Corporal Brock Buckland. And in fact, he's being escorted by his twin brother, Brad, 7,000 miles for the last time. And he said, out of respect to the Buckland family and the ultimate sacrifice they made, please remain seated until the remains have been removed from the cargo hold. And it just happened that Major Dan was sitting on the right-hand side of the plane where the cargo hold was, and he looked down, and he saw the ramp, and he says for the first time, you know, he saw the other side of war, you know, the darkest days, especially in the Buckland family. And he saw, you know, Brock's wife and, you know, his mom and dad were there, and then this little boy was being held by the grandmother. And he assumed that that was Brock's son, and it was Jacob, and Jacob ended up being the first recipient of a Folds of Honor scholarship. But Dan, Major Dan, he had three little girls at the time, all under the age of 8. And, you know, he thought, you know, what if that would have been me? Who's going to take care of my family and my kids? And so the ceremony was over, and he turned around to grab his backpack. And if you remember, the pilot said, you know, please remain seated until, you know, the ceremony is over. And much to his dismay, over half the plane had gotten off. And so that kind of lit a fire. But, you know, those two instances is the inspiration between him starting, you know, the Folds of Honor Foundation.
We're speaking with Perry Schmidt, President and Director of Folds of Honor Minnesota Chapter on Minnesota Military Radio. I can just imagine as you were telling that story, there's goosebumps going up my arm, but watching that young man on the tarmac and watching the casket come off, I can see how that would start the major thinking that maybe we should do something about this. And so when did he start the original organization?
You know, he started in 2007, and this year we've given out over our 10,000th scholarship. Each scholarship is about $5,000, and it goes to the spouses and children of fallen soldiers and those that have been severely disabled in combat. So in a short period of time, it's done very, very well.
So this is all across the country then?
It is. There's chapters. I think there's 11 chapters now. Minnesota was the fifth chapter that started, and there were an additional five that started in this year in 2015. So it is growing, and you know, it's doing quite well.
I was looking at your website, it looks like you've built a nice board of directors and you've put together a crew. And how's it going in Minnesota in the last couple of years?
You know, it's going very well. So we started last May, and like every charity, the first thing they do is they organize a golf tournament. And we were a little bit late coming out of the gate, but we ended up having our first Wingman Open is what we called it, and it was held at Hazeltine last October. And fortunately, in a very short period of time, a couple to 3 months, we organized it. We filled the tournament. We had 34 foursomes, And we ended up raising over $300,000 in our first event. And we had our second annual event this year and did equally as well. So, you know, within a year and a half, just under 2 years, you know, we've raised, you know, about $750,000 to $800,000.
Now, is your focus in the Minnesota chapter to look at the spouses and children of the fallen from Minnesota?
It is. It is. I'm glad you asked, because there's a couple things that really stick out about the Folds of Honor Foundation. One, you know, there's a lot of great causes, great charities out there, but this is a very, very efficient organization. Between 80 and 90 cents of every dollar year after year goes directly to scholarships. So very efficient. And then the other thing that was intriguing to Ann and myself was that all the money that's raised in Minnesota goes to Minnesota recipients first and foremost. And if we raise more money than we have scholarship applicants, then that money will go to National, which is in Tulsa, and then they will spread that out to other states that have needs.
So how many scholarships have you given out in Minnesota?
You know, the last 2 years, there's been 31. And, you know, that's one of our challenges. You know, we know that there's about 13,000, you know, National Guard members. We know that approximately 97 soldiers out of Minnesota were killed in action in Afghanistan and Iraq. And so I just know that there's a much bigger need out there. And this year, we're, based on the money that we've raised, we're going to give back to National, because they're responsible for doling out the scholarships, somewhere between $400,000 and $500,000. So you divide that by $5,000, and we have money available for next year, upwards of 100 scholarships that we can award. So we've only given out 31 in the last couple of years. So part of our challenge is to create awareness, because I know there's families that could benefit from this.
So how do you reach out to the families?
You know, that has been a challenge. We've been working, you know, through the National Guard. Major General Neal, I met with him, and he asked what he could do to help out. And so he's taken upon himself to help spread the word. You know, we've had a lot of different events that have some military involvement, so we just keep trying to spread it any way we can. But that, you know, again, has become our biggest challenge.
And as the years go by, that'll get easier and easier.
Yes.
Perry, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Perry Schmidt, the President and Director of Folds of Honor Minnesota Chapter on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Perry Schmidt, President and Director of Folds of Honor Minnesota Chapter, about their mission here in Minnesota, which is to provide annual educational scholarships in $5,000 increments to the spouses and children of the fallen. And Perry, your organization is a 501c3 charitable organization?
Yep, we did receive our certification letter from the IRS about 9 months ago.
And let's talk about eligibility again. Who all is eligible to get these scholarships?
You know, it's spouses and children, fallen soldiers, and those that have been disabled. And there's three different types of scholarship. There's immediate use. That's for secondary, post-secondary education, so vocational colleges, universities. There's a children's fund, and that's for private K-12 or tutoring. And then there's a future use, which is essentially a savings account for those kids that aren't taking advantage of the children's fund or the immediate use. So it becomes a savings account, money gets deposited, and they can use it when they're ready to enroll in those schools.
Now, Perry, you mentioned soldiers there, but I'm assuming you're talking service members,
yep.
all branches of the military.
Yep, I stand corrected. Yep, all military personnel.
And if people want to learn more about it, do you have a website?
Yeah, it's foldsofhonor.org.
So that's pretty easy, foldsofhonor.org.
Correct.
And you can go on there and you can read about the mission, which is to empower military families by providing educational scholarships to the children and spouses of military servicemen and women killed or disabled serving our great nation. Hmm. I don't know if we talked about disabled. So if we got a service member, man or woman, who is disabled while on active duty or guard reserve, and their children are in need of some money, they can apply as well.
That is correct. Yep, there's an application. So if they go to that website, foldsofhonor.org, there's an application to fill out. And, yeah, you complete that. It goes through a vetting process, and you'll be notified shortly thereafter.
Now, once again, you told us that you've given out how many scholarships here in Minnesota?
The last 2 years, it was 31 in the last 2 years each.
Now, did you get to deliver some of those checks yourself?
You know, I did have the opportunity to go through that, and it's an unbelievable experience because, you know, one, you know, me personally, I'm extremely grateful for the service that they provided, but these families are so appreciative for the money. Everybody knows what the cost of, you know, college education is right now. And $5,000, you know, it helps, but that doesn't cover the full bill. So it helps, but it finally gives these, you know, these children, you know, belief and hope that maybe there's a pathway that they can actually afford to go to college. And in addition, it recognizes, you know, their mother or father that's made such a sacrifice for us.
So it's got to feel good to hand out those checks.
It really, 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 really does.
I wish the listeners could see how big you're smiling when I'm asking you that question. Now, you have some fundraisers. One of them, you told us, is a golf tournament. You just finished the second annual. And next year, I assume you're going to have to move because that course is going to be busy.
We are. So we're looking for a new course. We've had a tremendous amount of interest. We had to turn away a lot of golfers. So next year, we're giving some thought to maybe expanding to a 27-hole course or maybe doing two 18s.
So information on where you're going to hold next year's tournament probably show up on your website sometime.
Very soon, hopefully.
All right. Well, I hope you have a success with that. Do you have other fundraising efforts?
We did. We had a private concert at a home on Lake Minnetonka this summer. And it was Lee Bryce, a country music artist. He came, donated, and volunteered all his time, equipment. We raised over $200,000 in that event. We had a bike ride this summer. We had a Hogs for Hero motorcycle, Harley-Davidson ride that raised some money. So a lot of different events throughout the year.
Seems like there's a pattern here in the Schmidt family. Was it the country music out in Las Vegas and a country music concert?
We like country, yeah.
That's great. Country people know how to give, and they know how to recognize and support the military and their families, don't they?
They do.
Now, for if our listeners want to get involved and help Folds of Honor, what do they do?
I'd say there's two things. One, obviously, we're always looking for donations and money to help to continue to provide these scholarships, you know, for these families that are so deserving. And two, as I'd mentioned, you know, we know that there's a lot of families that could benefit from these scholarships. So if you know of any military families that could benefit, please reach out to us at that website, foldsofhonor.org.
And these scholarships, once again, are available for the children and spouses of military servicemen and women killed or disabled while serving their country. So go to fieldsofhonor.org and find some more information. Perry, just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Nope. Just we appreciate all, you know, the sacrifice that these military people have done for us. And we're just happy to give back and help out any way we can.
Well, Perry, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio. That was Perry Schmidt, President and Director of Folds of Honor Minnesota Chapter on Minnesota Military Radio. More information available at foldsofhonor.org. Joining me now is the Director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Director Patrick Kelly. Director, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. As usual, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Sir, I understand busy as ever out there, but it's my understanding that the Fort Snelling Upper Post project is complete.
Yeah, so that's you know, we've been working on that, and Common Bond, the partner, has been working on that for, you know, probably 15 months now, and so 58 units, veterans are moved in. Not all the units are full yet, but, you know, four units for families. The other units are in the old horse stables, which look beautiful, by the way. I mean, it's really phenomenal what they've done with those. So we're having a ribbon cutting on the 2nd of October, and that's going to be at 1 o'clock on the 2nd of October. Congressman Paulson is going to be featured speaker. And it's just been a really big success. You know, you're taking those buildings from horse stables to residents that are suitable and really nice. Good project and important. So, that's about ready to come to a closure.
And that whole project was to rehab those buildings to house homeless veterans.
Exactly. So, yeah, we will have up to 58, and we have a long, long waiting list already of veterans who want to move in there. So we will have no difficulty getting 58 veterans in those units.
You've got to feel good about that project, sir.
It's a great project.
Director, I understand that the VA recently honored some outstanding women veterans.
Yeah, so we were one of five sites in the VA chosen to host a women's veteran campaign, is what it was called. And the idea, Tom, really was to increase visibility of women's health issues, to make sure that women, you know, women veterans and women in the community has a better understanding of women's health care and women's health care issues and what the VA does. And so we had several groups that were recognized as part of that. And so there's a women's veterans initiative group here in town, an advocacy group. And they pushed through, you know, among other things, a bill through the legislature creating a women's veterans license plate this past year. We recognized just a wonderful lady, Betty Stofus Wall. She's a World War II pilot who served in the Women's Air Corps. She was a WASP, and we've had her over here at the VA several times, and she is so delightful. I mean, one, she's just inspirational to hear speak, and she is so proud of being a women's veteran And I just can't imagine, you know, some of the stories she tells are just fascinating.
And, sir, we interviewed her some time ago on the show. So for our listeners, if you go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and put in WASP or Betty Walls, it's just, oh, she's just delightful.
Isn't she an amazing woman? So, yeah, we were very fortunate to have her here to recognize her. And then finally, one of our own staff, Donna Paul, who is a Navy veteran and is an outreach worker on our staff to women who served in the recent war. And so she's part of our OEF-OIF department, but Donna was also recognized. And so, good event. Over 200 women attended, speaker from Washington, D.C., local speakers. Great event, heightened women's our awareness of women's health issues. So, really pleased to have hosted that here in Minneapolis.
Sir, I understand you're getting ready to move a program over to the Whipple Building.
Yeah, so C&P, we've been planning this again for about 12 to 15 months, and so the clinic is going to be moving in next month. And the great thing about that, Tom, is that it will really draw a better distinction between our compensation and pension work and our clinical medical work. So working over at the federal building will I think more highlight to veterans and to those involved that this is part of the compensation and pension process, which is really adjudicated over by the regional office. And it's been a little confusing in the past for veterans. So, towards the middle end of October, we'll open that place. In the meantime, we'll be doing comp and pen exams over here. But it does a couple things. You know, one, gets veterans over there where they get the C&P exam in the same place that they get their claim adjudicated. And two, it opens up some more clinical space here in the hospital, so we can do our chronic pain management center, which will be going in behind them. So, it's just right around the corner, a good project, going to be good for veterans.
Director, just a few seconds left. Have you got some activity on Veterans Day?
Thanks for the opportunity, Tom. So November 11th, we're going to be having a program again this year, 2:30 to 3:30, mostly for our hospitalized veterans, but anybody else who's in the area wants to attend, 2:30 to 3:30, right over here at the Medical Center.
Director, thanks for joining us again today.
Pleasure, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, sir. That was Director Patrick Kelly from the VA healthcare system here in Minneapolis. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Greg Remus, Perry Schmidt, Director Patrick Kelly, Commissioner Larry Shelledo of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.